on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
And, Tom, that seems like the most likely outcome right now where this stands. Because if you remember last year when they tagged him, and you mentioned that they made a strong offer in their mind to where they thought the value was not very close to where Orlando Brown valued himself. And that's why he went out and bet on himself. But what goes on in this offensive line this offseason and moving forward is the interesting part of how Brett Veach has to navigate this group that he rebuilt so well to protect Patrick Mahomes. Because there's Orlando Brown on the left side, which teams like the Bengals thought he was the weak link on this offensive line heading into that AFC title game. But obviously he played very well there, played well in the Super Bowl against Brandon Graham protecting Patrick Mahomes. But their other tackle in Andrew Wiley, also a free agent at the right tackle spot, who played brilliantly against Hassan Reddick in the Super Bowl and only cost them $2.2 million a year ago. You would assume that number is going to go up. Patrick Mahomes thinks the world of Andrew Wiley. And then Andrew on the interior side, they think Creed Humphreys is one of the best centers in all of football. Trey Smith, the right guard, they believe is the most talented guy out of this group. And Joe Tooney, kind of the leader of this group, cap number jumps up to $22 million after it was about $8 million this past season because the second half of his contract kicking in. Some money down the road and other spots on this offensive line should be coming in. It's going to be interesting to see how Brett Veach values Orlando Brown this offseason as he weighs in the next offseason after the 2023 year, where he has to look at Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith in terms of possible contract.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Marco Marquez in Kansas City. Nate Buchady in Arizona with Sporting Kansas City. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We will talk to Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Who has been a regular guest on the show throughout the NFL season. And you know he is mainly an Eagles guy, but also writes about the rest of the NFL. And so we've given him a couple of weeks to, put a little distance between the Super Bowl, an emotional Super Bowl, and his return appearance on the Border Patrol. So we'll talk to him, get his thoughts on what took place in Super Bowl 57, and just talk to him about the offseason and everything else going on with the NFL. So Jeff Kerr at 7 o'clock. We'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. We've got Gary Dieter and the Sausage Anthony Sherman in studio. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk about all kinds of stuff with those fellas like we do every week. And then C.J. Moore from The Athletic, who covers college basketball. He'll be on the show at 9:05 and get his thoughts about the games coming up this weekend and where Kansas and Kansas State and Missouri sit right now as far as NCAA tournament and seeding and everything else. And then 9:30, Nate Buchady, who are we going to have on the show?
We're going to have a good friend of mine who is a very talented broadcaster by the name of Max Bratos. Some people might know him. He was an anchor on SportsCenter for quite some time. He has been the play-by-play voice of LAFC in Major League Soccer for the past few years since LAFC became a team, which means, by the way, that Will Ferrell is his boss. But anyways, he's going to be part of this new MLS Apple television broadcast package, which means he will be on the call of the Sporting Kansas City Portland Timbers game this Saturday, and so I thought it'd be kind of fun to have him on the show because he'll when you watch the Sporting game on Saturday, if you have the MLS season pass on Apple, you won't hear me. You will hear Max Bratos calling the game. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to maybe introduce him to the Sporting fans a little bit and have him on the show.
Marco's giggling. I don't know what. I'm going to have to find out about this in the commercial break.
The Milo! We want it now!
He said Will Ferrell's next boss.
See? There it is. I never know what makes Marco giggle. Is thinking about Will Ferrell, which makes us all giggle. All right. And so is Lebo, is he back now? Is he headed back? Is he?
As far as I know, he flew in last night.
Oh, so he's back in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know as far as back to work. We'll see.
Oh, that guy never stops. He's always at work, even when he's not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's good like that. So a successful trip out to Arizona for Todd Lebo and Petro and everyone else. So all I know is I got an email from Lebo that said BWJR. Did you get that email?
Oh.
Did you get that email?
I did get that
email. Okay, well, what does that mean to you?
It means I have another email from Todd.
It means Bobby Witt
Buffalo
Jr.
Buffalo Wild.
Bobby Witt Jr. So you told me we're not going to play that? I'm telling you we are. What?
Nothing.
Question
nothing.
Is how many times are we going to play
Say what you're going to say.
What makes you think that I wasn't going to let you play it?
Because it's not on the sheet.
I know, because I ran late.
That's
all. I didn't get the sheet.
Well, you're asking me what makes me think that you didn't plan on playing it
exactly.
Because it's not on the sheet. That's what makes me think that. But I'm just letting you know we are going to play it, right?
Sure.
What time you want to play? I think 7:30 sounds good for Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, some Bobby Witt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see who else he talked to yesterday?
Who?
Kyle Isabel.
Yeah.
He's going to be...
I'd like to hear from him, too.
He's going to be a big deal come opening day.
I would like to see him get some consistent at-bats. Just give him... That's like, you know, Nate's talked about this. This is... I think something very important. There are several players that I would like the Royals to find out about this year. Okay, if they're not going to be in contention for the playoffs, and, you know, wisdom tells you they're not, let's blank or get off the pot with some of these players. Let's find out what they got. Kyle Isabel's one of them because I think he's shown enough in the minors and in he's had moments or stretches in the major leagues that suggests, okay, is he, you know, maybe he's an everyday outfielder. Maybe he's a fourth outfielder. What is he? They should not have that question about him at the end of the season. That's what's disappointing, and I know it's just early in the spring training, it's just started, but that's what's disappointing about Drew Waters having the oblique injury that's going to keep him out 6 weeks as of now, because that's another guy you want to find out about. You want to try to sort through the outfield. Because, I mean... What do we know? We know Salvi's the catcher. We know Vinny Pasquantino is the first baseman. In my mind, Michael Massey is the second baseman. I know that there's going to be a competition, and if he just goes out and lays an egg, I don't think he will. Because, I mean, again, he won the Gold Glove in the minor leagues, and that's for all levels at second base. But still, he's not as good as Nicky Lopez defensively, but he's better offensively. And I think it's a better fit for him to be the everyday second baseman and then Nicky Lopez, because he can play, despite Nate's wild claims of Michael Massey playing all over the diamond yesterday and trying to force Michael Massey to become a catcher. Nicky Lopez does play. I mean, you could feel comfortable on him at second base, at shortstop, at third base. And so what's that? And maybe a guy that doesn't hit enough to stay in the lineup. That's a utility guy. That's a super utility guy. And so it makes more sense to me to have Michael Massey as the everyday second baseman, Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop, I don't know, at third base, and then Nicky Lopez, you got quality depth there if anyone gets hurt, everyone needs a day off, and he still plays three or four times a week because he's able to move around the diamond and play all over the infield. They got to say, that's what I think should happen. Right, so you know who second base is, or at least I think I know it is. Massey, Bobby Witt Jr., shortstop. Nicky Lopez should be utility. I mean, he'll get some chances at third base. I don't know what they're going to do at third base. Hunter Dozier. I'd like to see Nate Eaton get a longer look than Hunter Dozier, but you know, you've got Hunter Dozier, so I guess, you know, smoke him if you got him. And hopefully what you hope for is that he somehow has a hot first half at the plate, and then you can move him. But then in the outfield, like, what's for sure? Like, what's a certainty in the outfield?
You got to field three guys out there?
Yep, that's correct. Nate, what are you certain about in the outfield?
I'm not certain about anything in life. Who was the coach that said, I'm not even certain I'm going to be here tomorrow? But maybe the most certain, according to Annie Rogers, when we spoke yesterday, would be MJ Melendez in left field.
And that, boy, that doesn't feel like a sure thing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because that's like, really? Okay, well, if that's the thing you're most sure about, this outfield really is up in the air. Now, going into this thing, I wanted Drew Waters to get the first crack or get the best shot at center field. That's not a possibility for the next 6 weeks because of the oblique injury. All right? So enter Kyle Isbell. Enter Sandman. And then you've got another guy that you'd like to see him try to find out about in Edward Olivares. Right? Get him enough bats to where you feel he's either a part of this thing or not. Is he good enough defensively? Is his bat going to be consistent enough? Can he stay on the field and stay healthy? I mean, there's a lot of names out there. They've added power hitter Franmil Reyes, who, as Andy Rogers said, is viewed more as a DH. You don't want to see him out in the outfield a lot, but he's still, 2 years ago, he was a really good power bat. But he could still, you could envision him hitting well enough to where he could force his way into the lineup. But it's all up in the air, man, in the outfield. And so I don't, you know, who else do you, Nate Eaton can play some outfield, so you can factor him in there in the situation. So there's a lot that's wide open as far as the outfield.
Yeah.
And DH. But that could be Franmil Reyes.
There's also that. That means there's flexibility though too.
Right.
Right. And I feel like considering his background with the Rays, Coach Q might not be the kind of person that wants to just like I feel like Ned Yost would be looking to find like this guy's playing here every single day. But I think that we might see flexibility through the season in that regard, you know, guys playing in different positions depending on the game, depending on the matchup.
Right, and how much do you want Salvi to DH? And the Salvi DHs, you can have Melendez catch, and then another outfield spot's open. So
right.
So, yeah, but long answer. I want to hear from Kyle Isbell because that's interesting. He has right now, as it stands, and especially because of the Waters injury, he has a golden opportunity to seize a spot, to seize a starting spot, and grab some at bats. You know who? And here we keep talking about this. Who have we not mentioned? Who? It seems like no one ever mentions anymore. Who we were mentioning a lot last year?
Nick Prado.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I had a friend of ours text me that last night. Actually, how come nobody mentions Prado anymore?
Who's that?
Steve Fear.
Oh. But that's right? No, like, and I'm not saying us, because we're mentioning him, we're talking about him, but when I'm listening to other people that cover the Royals or talk about the Royals, he never gets mentioned anymore. What, I mean, is that just, he's getting lost in the shuffle? Is there a reason to be concerned there, Nate, or are we just...
Well, I mean, has he been producing? I don't remember looking at his numbers. I mean, last few times I looked at his numbers, it wasn't like something that had you real excited about. You know, like, hey, this guy's hitting the cover off the ball in AAA or anything. You know, I'm looking him up right now. I mean, hit 228 last year.
Shh.
You know, you don't usually get a ton of that was in the minors. In the majors, he hit 184 in his 158 at bats. So, yeah, typically, if you're going to get talked about a lot, you're hitting well somewhere, especially at that position. And that's not 83 games in AAA last year, .228 batting average, .367 on base. He did slug .449, but.
And remember, the Royals also have veterans like Matt Beatty, who they're going to take a long look at, Johan Carmago, and Matt Duffy. So, not that they're anything to get overly excited about, but those are guys who could end up seizing a spot on the bench. They'll be battling for a spot on the roster. And don't forget, and I know that people have been up in arms like, wow, look, the Royals have no one in the top 100, or there's several top prospect lists, and the Royals, there's not a whole lot of Royals on there. Well, because a bunch of them got called up last year. But don't forget about shortstop Michael Garcia, because I like him a lot. And even though shortstop is taken right now, that's still a guy that's good enough offensively and defensively. He could end up forcing his way into the lineup in some fashion. So just highlight him and don't forget Michael Garcia.
Yeah, and like you said, the shortstop's spoken for now. But as we heard, I mean, they're going to give Bobby Witt Jr. the majority of the opportunities at shortstop this year. But if he does not show improvement defensively over what he did last year, that job is not like, oh, it's just, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the shortstop of this team for the next 6 years, period. That's not, it's not that taken. So, yeah, keep an eye on him, too.
Because they have a really, really good shortstop prospect in Garcia, and because you look over at third base like, huh? They might have to get creative and figure something out for the hot corner. But Bobby Witt Jr. gets the first crack at shortstop, and we'll hear from him later, whether Marco wants us to or not. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right. Good song. Crank that back up for a minute. I like Robert Palmer. That's when we get to the chorus. Thank you. All right. A lot of stuff going on that we need to talk about. So, how about this? Listen to this press release from New York. Apple and Major League Soccer have announced the addition of 8 talented broadcasters to its already formidable roster of MLS season pass on-air personalities. With the start of the 2023 MLS season just 3 days away, MLS Season Pass, the unprecedented subscription service of the Apple TV app, now features a total of 92 announcers representing 22 different countries and nationalities, one of the largest lineups of on-air talent covering a major sports league. And then I'm looking, and under play-by-play, it says, Nate Bucati is an accomplished play-by-play announcer who has established himself as one of the top soccer commentators in the United States. He has been the lead commentator for Sporting Kansas City in MLS since 2015 and has performed play-by-play duties for Fox Sports since 2018. Covering international competitions such as the Gold Cup as well as MLS matches. How about that, Marco?
How about that?
Did you know that?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing of it.
I retweeted a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Mack, who tweeted out a congratulations to Nate Bucati. Apparently, Jimmy Mack is also Nate's agent.
Checks in the mail, Jimmy.
Right. And so then I retweeted that, and other people retweeted it. And so that's how the news, Jimmy Mack broke that news. Jimmy Mack broke your back.
My back is broken.
Right. And so respond to this news, Nate. Were you aware of this?
Well, yeah, I'm aware of it.
Oh, okay.
I signed the contract on Friday, actually, of last week. So, but, you know, you got to wait for...
Gotta wait for the ink to dry.
You gotta wait for the ink to dry. That's right.
You gotta wait for the lawyers.
Gotta look everything over. Probably had to do some background checking, you know, right. Whatever, and go through the HR process and all that stuff, and
house inspection.
And then you gotta get final approval from the Sports Entertainment Illuminati.
Right, and which is a complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a complicated road to navigate. Right. So. It was funny because, yeah, like they were going to tell me ahead of time, hey, this is when the press release goes out, so be ready to, you know, retweet it or whatever. And the email that they sent me to tell me that the press release was going out at what time, I think it was supposed to go out at 2 o'clock Eastern time yesterday, but I didn't get that email till 9 o'clock last night. I don't know what happened. So I looked up. On my phone, and all of a sudden notifications were blowing up because Jimmy Mack and a few right. others had seen the news release.
How did Jimmy Mack get this before you?
That's a great question. You know,
get Jimmy Mack on the phone now.
Yeah. But
Marco just reached for the phone and then looked at me and then shrugged his shoulders, realizing he doesn't have the number. But he actually reached for the phone. Like, okay, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah. He's a man of action, Marco. Right. So I appreciate that about him. So, yeah, I'm obviously very excited. This is it's been pretty bittersweet because it's something, obviously, you know, we've had conversations about this, Stephen, since Major League Soccer made the decision to do this exclusive streaming rights deal with Apple that local television broadcasts were going to go away. And honestly, being the play-by-play announcer for Sporting Kansas City has just been, I don't have a bad word to say about it. I've never been, you know, treated by an organization so well. Everybody in the club has been so great to me, from the ownership to the fans to everyone else. And I don't think anybody needs me to say how much I've loved that job. I think it's probably pretty clear. So, but it's, that job's changed, you know, it's not the same, it's not going to be there anymore. And I do think this situation with Apple, it's ambitious. It's controversial. Some people think, you know, what are they doing? They're going to put a big percentage of their games behind a paywall. And when you're a league that's trying to grow, is that the right thing to do and all that? But what I do think, and being a part of the meetings and things like that, is that when an organization like Apple wants something to succeed, you got a great chance of it succeeding because they just have so much might and power. From the money that they have, but the technological capabilities that they have. And so I think a lot of us in the league just really, really wanted to be a part of it. And I'm certainly in that category.
Can you get free iPads now?
I think I'm getting a free iPhone.
Can you get a free iPad for someone else?
I'll look into that. Okay, I'll look you. Into that and see.
Right.
I'll get back to you on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But, very excited, you know, very excited to get to be a part of it. The season starts this weekend, so it's happening kind of fast. But, yeah.
But some people are confused. So, I tweeted that out, and I made some comments and then retweeted it. And then, so, you know, got a bunch of mentions. And, like, 95% of them were, congrats, Nate. Way to go, Nate. That's awesome, Nate. There was, like, 4% of them were awful insults to you. And
I mean, I'll take 4%. Yeah, that's not so bad.
Maybe 8%. I don't know. You got to mix it up. You got to mix it up, okay?
Don't want to get a big head.
And then someone asked me, will Nate still be on the Border Patrol? And then I retweeted that, and I said, no, I fired him 15 minutes ago. And then some people, I think, thought I was serious. And so then I'm getting some other questions. And so like a very good listener of the show, Marissa, said, but he can do both, right? And so I'm not going to speak for you. So let you answer. You answer to the listener, so you answer to Marissa. She's asking you if you can do both. So how's this affect the Border Patrol, Sports Radio 810, and Curtis Siebold?
Well, I can't speak for how it will affect Curtis Siebold.
Right.
My guess is minimally.
Okay.
But no, I plan to stay here as long as you'll let
Curtis,
me.
Curtis, you're fine.
Yeah, Curtis is okay. He's good. Is he already there? Just
no.
Really wondering
no.
About
what's Nate gonna do?
What does this do for me? What is
right.
This? What's this Bucati thing? How does that affect me? No, I plan to be here as long as you let me, man. I first of all, I said how much I love the job with Sporting Kansas City, and all that's absolutely true about being a part of this show. And I want to stay, and I am going to stay from a workload standpoint. I'm going to be traveling a lot more. I mean, what it's really going to affect is my wife and children, who I'm going to be out of town on weekends a lot. And I haven't been lately because Sporting Kansas City, once the pandemic hit, we stopped traveling for away games. So every game was a home game, even the away games I was doing from Kansas City. And that was really nice. It was wonderful for me and my family. I was able to be at almost all of my kids' youth sporting events on the weekends. And I'm going to be missing out on a lot of those things because most of my travel will be on the weekends. There's a small handful of Wednesday games, but as you know, we can do the show from other places now as well. So
will you guys go to like where the games are being played, or will you go to a studio and call the games?
Yeah, so it's a little complicated for me because and some of this stuff hasn't come out yet, but I'm going to actually, and this is, I guess I can say it on the radio here.
Yeah, please do before Jimmy Mack breaks the story.
Yeah, I'm going to be calling a lot of games for Fox as well.
Oh.
Because Fox has a package of these games alongside of Apple that will be like simulcast. You can either watch, you can go on the Apple app and watch it on Apple, or you can watch it on Fox Sports 1. I actually have a handful of games on Big Fox on the network as well. And those games will be called from a studio, but when I do the games for Apple, those games will be from on site at the games. So I'm a little bit of both, but when I travel for Fox, I'll still be traveling. I just won't be going to the games. I'll be going to a studio to call them. So,
hello. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. I want to know. Right. Thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy Mack just called me and said that he actually has your complete schedule whenever you want it to. Just let him know and he can tweet that out for you. So.
I appreciate that.
Again, odd, so this seems backwards.
Hey,
what?
Well, it would be interesting if you did, because I don't believe the full schedule that anyone has their full schedule yet, because they're making it, they're kind of making it as the season goes.
We'll figure it out. Congratulations, though. We're very happy for you, and I know that you're very excited. And Marco, for some reason, is super excited. He said, Nate's traveling more, and he took his shirt off and ran down the hall, so I don't know what that means.
Wow. I can watch Nate from bed now.
Oh, boy. This is now taking a turn. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Nate Bucati with you, and I am coming to you from Scottsdale, Arizona, where Sporting Kansas City are having their final week of preseason training as they get ready for the season opener on the road in Portland on Saturday. And my guest now is goalkeeper for the Sporting Kansas City side, John Pulskamp. John, man, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm good. It's good to see you here. It's good to be here. It's nice to see you again after some good time off.
Yeah, it's been a long off season, and it's a little weird for me always because I get to come parachute into like the last week of training camp, and I'm super excited to be in Arizona because the weather's beautiful and it's freezing cold back home and all that stuff. And then I get here to see you guys, and you've been at it for like a month now.
Yeah.
Are you like, what's it like to be in the last week of training camp? Are you guys just ready to get to the regular season? How's everybody feeling about this time of the training camp?
Yeah. I mean, we've like you mentioned, we've been here for a while, and by the last week, it honestly starts to feel like you're back in regular season. You know, the first week or 10 days or so, you know, it's fun and everyone's just kind of happy to see each other again, and we're happy to be back. But then pretty quickly, it's right back to serious work and right back to competing with each other. And, you know, a few weeks of that, and by the point where we are now it's business as usual. It's picking up right where we left off and prepping for Portland like we are a midseason game.
Okay, so long off season, as I mentioned. How did you spend it? What did you do with your time, you know, away from the game?
Yeah, it was a long off season, which was great because obviously not a native Kansas City person. You know, I'm a transplant, and being from California, I do miss home often, especially the family and all the activities there that I do with the family. So this off season, it was all about that. It was all about not going anywhere, you know, far or abroad. It was about going home and just spending time with the family in my backyard, you know, and all the different things we have at our disposal in California. So spent a bunch of time in the national parks, spent a bunch of time in Joshua Tree specifically, a couple Joshua Tree chips, went up to Yosemite, a bunch of time in the Eastern Sierras, the mountains there. And yeah, just spent time doing the things I love with my family. You know, climbing, hiking, backpacking, all those things that I grew up doing.
Okay, so Joshua Tree. I have to confess that my knowledge of Joshua Tree literally comes from the U2 album that became famous. I don't know how well you know that. I was in college when that album came out. But tell me about it. Like, what makes that place so special?
Yeah, J Tree is awesome. It's really unique. It's like you're inside of a Dr. Seuss book. I mean, you're talking about a gnarly looking desert with these trees that, yeah, I mean, the best way I could describe them is something that Dr. Seuss drew up in a book, like something that looks otherworldly, really. And then you just have these massive rock just formations that pop up every 100 yards or so, and they're, you know, a few hundred to, you know, 500 plus feet high, and yeah, it's just swarming with rock climbers and day hikers and just really cool like-minded people, and yeah, it's just kind of like a otherworldly feeling. It's, I mean, a lot of people describe it as a spiritual place for them, and I definitely get where they're coming from when people say that.
Okay, you were showing me your pickup truck, and so you're serious about this stuff. I mean, it was like you've got a pop-up tent on the back. Yeah. You've got stoves to cook everything on. Is that something that you learned growing up? How did you get so serious about the camping lifestyle?
Yeah, that's all from my dad, and that came from his dad. So my grandpa, yeah, I mean, I hear stories of him, I mean, up until his late 70s, going, you know, a couple days deep into the Eastern Sierras, just by foot, you know, backpacking days into, you know, in the middle of October when there's, you know, 10 feet of snow on the ground and it's, you know, negative 10 degrees at night. So it's what my dad grew up doing, and he passed it on to us. And then, yeah, that evolved into me getting the old Tacoma. And I love that truck with all my heart. I built it up pretty good now. Every year I do, you know, a few different upgrades to it, build different things on it, do all the work myself. So it's a fun little hobby I have. And having the rooftop tent on it allows me to yeah, basically just go wherever I want during the off season, and I take full advantage.
You ever have like a bear encounter or anything like that? Have you ever been like, you know, I feel like you're kind of a bear yourself,
yeah,
you know,
man.
Like you ever have like have to fight a bear or anything like that?
haven't had to fight any yet, but I have seen bears, just kind of out. Luckily, I saw a black bear once, and those tend to be pretty skittish, but haven't had any overly scary bear encounters.
All right, stay safe. What's the one, if there's a national park you haven't been to yet, is there one that's like on your bucket list that you really got to get to?
Yeah, I haven't been to Glacier National Park up near Canada. It's supposed to be gorgeous. I haven't been there yet.
Someday, when you get to that off season, you'll be doing that. We're visiting with John Polskamp. Let's get back to the soccer stuff a little bit. Yeah. Last year was a breakout year for you, and obviously, some of it comes because of an unfortunate circumstance. Tim Melia gets hurt, but you've got to be ready when that time comes. Career high in appearances and all that at the first team level. How much did you grow as a soccer player through all that experience last year?
Yeah, the growth was apparent to me, and I think it was apparent to everyone that, you know, I felt good stepping in from the first moment, and every game it was just building upon that. You know, as a young player, game time is, I think, what evolves you the most. It's being in the moment where everything matters, where everything's on the line, and it's the moments you train for, but nothing can really replicate it exactly. So it's being in those game time moments that I think evolve you the most as a player, and getting the longest string of games in the league that I've had, I think it was immense in my development, both technically, mentally, just everything. I think it really took me a couple levels higher in my own game.
Goalkeeping is so interesting to me because the timeline seems to be very different than what you see from position players, right? Like, you see position players when they're teenagers sometimes burst right in, get a lot of minutes, and then all of a sudden by the time they hit 30, they're starting to decline. Paper because off. Yeah, but whereas, like, it's like goalkeepers, it's like a slower build and then a longer time at that level because there's so much mentally to the game. I feel like, you know, that experience means so much. And you, how do you get it if you're not getting minutes out on the field? And I just feel like that was a big step for you last year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the big question right there at the end is, well, you know, how do these young guys get that experience? And that's it, is as a young goalkeeper, you need to get those minutes and you need that experience to develop into the top guys that we watch, you know. And when people say, you know, it's an experience-based position, and that's why some of the older guys excel, well, you know, those older guys were young at 1.2, and that's, you know, how they got to that point is they got those experiences early on, and that developed them. And yeah, historically, the timeline is a little different, but I think we're starting to see that change a little bit. I mean, even on the world stage, mm-hmm. you know, with guys like Donnarumma playing and some of the guys over in the Prem, you know, with Ramsdale and Melier, you got young guys that are playing and doing very, very well.
Yeah. You just called out a guy I'm a big fan of. I'm an Arsenal guy, so Ramsdale. Yeah. Are you too?
He's a good friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that because of your time at Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So when I was spending some time in Bournemouth, I was there for a while, and I was staying with a host family, and he lived just down the street. So he would give me rides to training, and he was welcomed me in, you know, being a foreign guy, mm-hmm. Living in England for a bit. He would always take me out with the guys and would try to include me anytime the guys were doing stuff. So super nice guy, and I'm still in contact with him to this day. He's a good friend.
You have to tell him there's a weird guy in Kansas City who's a huge fan of his, and especially after watching the Arsenal All for Nothing stuff. I mean, yeah. He's just very likable guy. For our listeners right now in Kansas City that are listening, Arsenal is a team in London. Aaron Ramsdale is a young goalkeeper who's incredible there. But we're talking with John Polskamp, young goalkeeper for Sporting Kansas City, who's on the way up in his career. And it's interesting to hear you talk about the relationship there, because I know you've told me in the past, not all goalkeepers take you under their wing and help you out sometimes. But you've told me that Tim has been a guy that's really helped you, Tim Melia, mm-hmm. here in Kansas City. What's that relationship been like for you as you've learned from one of the better veteran goalkeepers in Major League Soccer?
Yeah, no, I mean, Tim and Kendall, and, you know, over the past couple of years, both those guys have been great. You know, Tim, I've been with Tim a little bit longer since the moment I got here. He was the guy, and that was in 2019 when I was with the USL team. And yeah, from day one, he was always just nice. I mean, he's funny. He's not too, you know, abrasive compared to some of the other guys I've encountered. You know, he's a likable guy, and yeah, he's given me a lot of advice about stuff on and off the field, and that's why I think, you know, we're good friends and we get on really, really well with each other.
He's also liable to body slam somebody into the goal, though, if they, you know, as we've seen in the past, and I've noticed you've got a mean streak to you too. Once you get on the field, that I feel like the guy I'm talking to right now is like this really happy, smiley guy that goes hiking and everything. But in the game, and even in practice, there's like, is it a switch that flips with you? Like, how would you describe that transformation of John Polskamp once he's getting involved in the game?
I mean, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that about me off the field, because even off the field, I get comments sometimes that I could be a very intense person, you know. I always try to be a nice, happy person. But yeah, definitely on the field, it's business. You know, I mean, you're stepping, once you step over the lines, it's go time. You know, you're there to do a job and to get a job done. And that's all I'm focused on, is doing my job and trying my best to make sure other guys are doing their job. And we all hold each other accountable. And if somebody's trying to stand in my way of that, I won't shy away from trying to fix that problem myself.
Well, John, it's going to be fun to watch you again this season as you continue your growth in the early stages of your career. And it's going to be fun to hear where you go next as well in your travels in the offseason. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
Hey, awesome. Anytime. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
All right, guys, that is John Polskamp here from Scottsdale, Arizona, Sporting Kansas City, getting ready for the season opener on Saturday night against the Portland Timbers in Portland. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Also, Gary Lezak, Garrick Dieter, and the Sausage Anthony Sherman will stop by. We'll talk to C.J. Moore from The Athletic about college basketball. And then Max Bratos will be on the show to talk about Sporting Kansas City and the game he's going to be calling coming up. And again, when and where and how and why on that game, Nate?
Sporting Kansas City at the Portland Timbers on Saturday, 9:30 Central Time, I believe, right here on your home for Sporting Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and also on the Apple TV app on MLS Season Pass. Did I get it all?
I think all the details there?
Remembering all these talking points is, there's a lot of talking points these days, you know?
Are you confused, Marco, or do you have a grasp on this now?
No, I got a grasp on it. In fact, I learned if you're a T-Mobile user,
yeah,
you get Apple TV, or get the MLS season pass, I should say, on Apple TV Plus for a year. You get a free membership. So I got that. I activated that yesterday.
Look at Marco.
To get ready for Saturday.
That's big time,
isn't
it?
They're taking on the rivals.
That announcement just came out this week, I believe, about T-Mobile.
Well, call me Jimmy Mack of T-Mobile then.
There it is. Yeah, we will take a break back after this on WHB.